There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Drive Live. Talks Automotive.
We have the customary two guests this afternoon from Wheelers ME, country manager and motoring journalist as well. Noel Ebden is here. Nice to see you, Noel.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you here. And in particular for Cash or Trash, but we'll mine as much information as we can out of you, Naz. Naz Chowdhury is here from We Cash Any Car, which is a doobizzle company. You are the CEO. Nice to meet you.
Likewise, thank you for having me.
Good to have you here. So we're going to start with Cash or Trash today because, as always, there are loads and loads of texts coming in. For some reason, we all want to know what our cars are worth.
Yeah,
what a surprise.
So we're jumping straight in there.
Yeah,
we?
We're going to jump straight in with that. So are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, so here you go.
Cash or Trash?
Number one, Jeep Grand Cherokee, 75th Anniversary Special Edition. Nice. Bought in 2016 as a 2017 model.
Okay.
V6, 3.6 standard so far. Metallic green. Bought new. GCC specs with sat-nav. All the modern, different modern gadgets. Cash or trash?
Definitely cash.
Thought so.
Number of ways to go about this, of course. And really, it comes down to the seller's speed and when he wants to sell the car. You know, if he's looking for a cash option, or if he wants to sell the car himself, where he may get 10% more, but of course he'd have to wait. And coming into summer, things might slow down if you're going down the retail route.
Okay.
In terms of price, it depends on the options and a couple of things you missed out on. But to give you a guide price, we're looking anywhere from 80 to 90,000 dirhams.
Okay, 80 to 90,000 dirhams. Here's another one for you. 2001 Pajero, black, three-door, 50,000 kilometres, dealer-maintained, no accidents, single owner, lady driver, who is excellent, I guess, at driving.
Okay, I'm sure.
Very good road behaviour as well. But popular car, Pajeros always sell, don't they?
Very popular car. I mean, it's got a lot of good things going for it, especially among the lady drivers, being a two-door. Low kilometres, certainly very appealing. Based on these two facts, I'd definitely go down the cash route as well. In terms of value, once you find the right buyer, one can expect to get 10,000 dirhams for this vehicle.
All right, then. Not too bad, I don't think. There's
not bad at all, considering it was 70,000 odd new. With the amount of, you know, 15 years of usage, it's
17 years of use. I mean,
yeah,
that's,
17
so
years
still 10,000. 17 years, still 10,000. Noel, you're nodding there as well.
Yeah,
I don't want to put you on the spot.
No, they're a good car. I mean, they're a different market to the four door. So
yeah,
totally different market. But yeah, still see loads of them around. Don't
you? Yeah, they're you
everywhere.
Do. They're going
last forever.
Mazda 6, 2014, 75,000 kilometres, 2L engine base model, perfect condition. 4-year-old Mazda 6. Nice looking car, I think.
It is a nice looking car. I think it's aged quite well, considering the same shape has been around for a good few years now. In terms of pricing, a cash price would be in the region of 25 to 30,000 dirhams.
Okay, there you go. First three this afternoon. There's space on Cash or Trash at the moment to get in touch. 4001 via the free app. You can call if you like. Isa is at the phones today. 423-1010 is the number. Let's ask this. VW, Noel, has set a 2020 deadline for self-parking cars. No surprises. Self-park has been around for a while, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, I actually drove a VW Tiguan on the launch years ago that had the parallel park, and it worked then. I mean, it's...
How many years ago?
Oh, that's got to be... Probably 10 years. Well, no, about 8 years ago, I reckon, now I was on that launch. Yeah,
okay.
A long time back. So.
Okay. So what's unique about this then? I mean, setting a 2020 deadline when something's been around for 8 years already doesn't strike me as a particularly big news story.
Well, this is a good one because you don't have to be in the car. And you also don't actually have to wait around and watch it park, which there's, for example, Tesla have got that technology at the moment where you get out of the car and it parks itself in your garage. This is different. You can get out the car and walk away, and the car will head off into the car park and go find its own space.
So it's basically valet parking.
So it valets for you?
For free.
It's valet without the valet, yeah.
Wow, okay. But not coming here anytime soon, I wouldn't have thought, because the regulatory aspects of self-driving or autonomous vehicles differ from country to country, but there isn't a country yet that actually has regulations in place for full autonomous driving, or is there?
That's a good question. It depends what levels you're talking about, but California is probably at the sort of peak of the levels that allow for total autonomous driving. But this is about autonomous driving within a confined space. So what they're talking about here is a car park where there isn't any pedestrians or people driving their own cars.
Okay.
So therefore, they're removing a lot of that risk. The interesting thing in this story, which is even more, which is great, is they're talking about the next stage where you can actually set your car tasks to do without you. So you could, for example, have a petrol... this is the early stage, would be to have a petrol pump at the car park. So when you go in, you say, go park yourself and fill up with fuel on the way, please. And it goes, fills itself with fuel, and then off it goes and parks.
Well, what other tasks might it perform?
The stage after that is that you can do that from home via an app. So you could... How much time do we spend in the UAE queuing for petrol?
Yeah, it's a good point.
You could send your car off and let it queue without you.
Okay. And could it pick up a cup of coffee on the way out?
If you asked it nicely, it probably could. Why not? They're also talking about... Because we all have... You know, a lot of cars now have remote access boot on the car. You press the button, boot opens. Mm. You could actually... For example, tell your car to open the boot if Aramex want to deliver a package to the back of the car, or DHL or FedEx or whoever. And so you could keep your dry cleaning in the back of the car, and when the dry cleaning guy gets to your car, you can open the boot remotely from your office 10 kilometres away.
I'm not sure I'm all over that, but I like the idea. But the thing is, it's getting used to these things, isn't it? If,
yeah.
You know, if that's you're at a petrol station, car trundles by with nobody in it for the first couple of times, that's going to bother you. It's going to worry people.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, look back at headlights. When I had cars years ago, every single car you had to switch on the headlights. I don't switch the headlights on my car now; it does it automatically. I don't think about it. It takes you a little bit of time to get used to it. That's a tiny level of autonomy of a car. It's making a decision for you. Windscreen wipers on luxury cars now.
Yeah,
they work themselves.
Okay.
So it's just getting into that mindset.
And it is getting used to it, isn't it? Okay. Noel Ebden's here from Wheelers.me. Naz Chowdhury's here from We Cash Any Car for Cash or Trash.
This is Drive Live with Natalie Lindo-Taylor and Tim Elliott.
NLT and Tim with you until 7. Noel Ebden is here from Wheelers.me. Noel, we're going to be talking Tesla in a minute, the Model 3. Halting production at the moment. Story from the New York Times I know you want to talk about. We've also got Naz Chowdhury here from We Cash Any Car, Do Bizzle Company. Naz, you're doing Cash or Trash today. Ready for some quick fire stuff?
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go.
Cash or trash?
So, Range Rover Sport 2006, bog standards, reasonably high mileage, 214,000. What do you think? Charles is asking.
Well, just to give you a comparison, we bought a very similar spec car with 150,000 kilometres on it, and we paid 19,000 dirhams. So, taking into account slightly higher mileage, I'd go in around 15 or 16, assuming the major things are okay, such as engine, gearbox and suspension.
Okay, Charles, there you go. Toyota Corolla, 2008, 10 years old, therefore, 1.6, full option, GCC, one owner, agency maintained, 100,000 miles in 10 years. That's pretty good, very good condition.
Yeah. The funny thing about this car is whether the mileage was 80 or 180, it wouldn't really affect the price either way, because it's such a solid car, such good residual values. I'd put this around the 12,000 to 15,000 dirham mark.
That's good. Mohammed says Audi Q7 V8 2009, 115,000 kilometres. Again, not bad mileage.
Not bad at all. Just to note, with these German cars, it really depends on the condition. You know, service history has a lot to play, the colour, the options and things like that. But if you just to give a guide price for such a vehicle, I'd say 20 to 25,000 dirhams.
Okay, we haven't caught you out yet. I'll try with this one. Ford Fusion, 2.5 litre, 2014 model, dealer maintained.
Okay, so regarding the Ford Fusion, again, it depends on the option level. However, I'd say a good guide price for such a vehicle is around 20,000 dirhams. I know it may sound slightly on the low side. However, it's just hard to find such a buyer for these kind of cars. They're fairly rare. Being a Ford sedan, focused sedan kind of car, it's difficult to find a typical buyer for this kind of vehicle.
Okay, final one. What would be the... I like this text, and this is one we'll leave it here for now. We'll come back and do some more in a minute. You can still text 4001 of the free app if you like, or call 43 1010. The value of my father's Nissan Titan, 2008, 10 years old, quite a few accidents, but nothing major.
Okay.
I don't know quite what that means. What do you think?
It all depends on whether the RTA pick up on the fact that it's had chassis damage or not, because there's two types of accidents, really, one can say. The first one being superficial, scratches, dents, fender benders as such. The other one being more substantial, where there's chassis frame damage or airbags popping out. But assuming it hasn't had the latter, I would say 12,000 to 15,000 would be a safe bet on the car like this.
Okay, it's 440. You can text, speak to Naz, or put something forward to Naz. You'll know what your car's worth. 4001 or via the free app. Now let's come back to Noel. Teslas. We're not going to see any more Model 3 production. Well, we are going to see more, but they're halting it for now. What does that mean for Tesla, Noel?
They're actually only halting it for a couple of days.
Okay.
So let's not assume there's major issues there. They just want to iron out some kinks. Tesla's always controversial. Everybody likes to talk about it. People love to hate them. People love them. Let's set out one thing. They've done a phenomenal job with the market to date so far. They've pushed all the other manufacturers to a point of forcing them to make electric cars. That's all come from Tesla. They have had a lot of problems. Yes, they've got quality issues. Yes, financing issues potentially, according to which newspaper you read. But I mean this story in particular, I wouldn't put too much emphasis on it. It's just they're just stopping production for a few days to get the to iron out some creases in their product, how they build those cars. The bigger question is what happens to Tesla going forward. They have a lot of competition coming up in the next 6 months. Jaguar, for example, Audi. I mean, there's just so much autonomy about to hit the market in electric vehicles that my worry for Tesla is that they're going to get caught by the big boys who know how to build quality cars and don't have the issues that Tesla have had. And they have the money. They have the money to throw at R&D. Look how quickly they've come up with these cars.
Mm. What do you think, Naz? Because you have Model X, is it?
A Model X, yes.
Yeah. And you love it. You like the car.
Yeah, I think it's a great car. And, being an entrepreneur myself, I'm very proud of what Elon Musk has done and what he's trying to achieve. He's essentially given the big boys a real kick to get the whole, electric vehicles into play. Had he not been around, I don't think the other guys would have made so much noise on electric vehicles. So he's definitely pushing the industry in that way. As Noel quite rightly said, the bigger boys have a lot larger budgets and they can catch up very quick. And if he's not careful, maybe even overtake where he is right now.
What do you do, though, when you take the approach of an entrepreneur like Elon Musk and you are as forward-thinking as you are and you give these enormous car manufacturers a kick? What do you do to stay ahead? Is there any way you can stay ahead? Because if you do what he's done, everybody else will follow. You will be taken. They're going to overtake you, whether you like it or not. What does he have to do with the Model 3 in particular? Because there's so much riding on it now.
There is, and I think, it's... If he could get it to market in the numbers that he was talking, that gives him that, for want of a better word, a turbo boost forward ahead to stay ahead of the manufacturers. But they just don't seem to be able to do it. I don't see a future for them that isn't an acquired future where there's been an acquisition, someone's come in and bought them, one of the big boys. Possibly the Japanese, because the Japanese are a bit of a way behind on this technology. As much as this has been really interesting, actually. There's the Japanese market hasn't accepted this technology as quickly as the rest of the world, which is strange. You would think it would be the other way around. Japan's often led the world in technology, so it's very strange. But that makes them an ideal target for a Toyota, a Honda, etc. to leapfrog the competition, basically. So it's a big boys playing field out there in the car market. The small manufacturers either are very niche, your Morgans and your Caterhams and these sort of small brands, or they get swallowed.
Okay, here's another Tesla story. Let me put this to you. Teslas in the UAE not prone to corrosion problems. We were talking off air just now. There are issues in colder climates. We are reading, whether that's true or not, or whether that's just press nonsense, I don't know. But if you have a Tesla here, you don't need to worry. Is that fair?
Well, they have. I mean, I believe it's a story. Tesla have actually commented on it, so they are having issues with some corrosion. But all cars have faults on them. All cars are not. There's no such thing as a perfect car. Again, it's not there are bigger stories around Tesla than this. That's just a, in some climates, I mean, salt on cars is awful, as anyone from a cold climate will know. I mean, it rots away the bottom of the car. So this isn't an unsurprising story. It's just we have a couple of stories about Tesla that are actually small stories compared to the overall big story of Tesla. So I mean, no one here has to worry. I don't think you're going to see any corrosion on a Tesla here.
Feel better now? No, it's not worried.
Yes.
Now. All right, you ready for another question?
Yes, sure.
Let's talk to Ashish. She's on the phone. Ashish, good to have you on.
Thank you.
So you have a Honda CR-V 2014. Give us some details, Ashish.
8,000 kilometers. It's an accident-free car. I want to sell it and buy a Prado. So my question is, what price can I expect for this car? And the agency is telling me that it's better to buy a used Prado, which is a 2017 model VXR, than to buy a new from a long-term perspective, as well as to get the benefits of depreciation. So does that make sense, or am I going to lose out on a lot of features if I buy the old Prado?
Okay. Naz, what do you think?
I've been in the car industry 15 years now, and I've yet to buy myself a new car, and I don't think I ever will. Reason being is, as we all know, as soon as a car drives out of a showroom, it loses 20 to 25% of its value, if not more, depending on vehicle make and model. So based on that, if you don't mind buying something with a few thousand kilometers on it, maybe 6 to 12 months old, you can see a substantial saving on the Prado. And another thing you can do as well is actually use your CRV as parts exchange in order to get that new Prado so the difference in payment is less.
What do you think, Ashish? Does that help you?
Yep, that does make sense. I mean, that's exactly, and that's very practical as well. So what value can I expect for a CRV driven for 68,000 accident-free car? It's a top-end model at that time.
I would say the value of this car, depending on options, is approximately 35,000 dirhams. If you want to extract the best value out of the car, it's probably worth putting on classifieds and sticking around for a while. As Ramadan's coming up in a few weeks, you may get some good offers on pre-owned Prados. So it gives you a few-week window to maybe sell it privately. As when you walk into a showroom with cash, as we all know, cash is king, and you get yourself a better deal on the Prado. All
there
the
you
best.
Go, Ashish. Consider that. Appreciate you calling.
Thank you so much, Ash. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ashish.
Harish is on with the same, very similar story, actually. Honda CR-V 2009, 150,000 kilometres, no accidents, single owner. Similar price, maybe not quite as
no,
much.
No, being 5 years older, I'd put it around the 10 to 12,000 dirham mark.
This is Drive Live. Get in touch with the show.
Text us on 4001.
It's Drive Live, NLT. Tim with you. We're talking cars.
Drive Live. Talks Automotive.
I don't know how we're going to get through all of these, but we will try. Cash or Trash today. Naz Chowdhury is here from We Cash Any Car. Noel Ebden's with us as well. Motoring journalist. He's country manager for Wheelers.me. Naz is the CEO of We Cash Any Car. Your wife's just texted us, Naz. I should read out the text.
I'd rather you did it. Don't do it, Tim.
She's very proud of you. Let's put it that way. It's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Some stuff for you. Let's start with Golf GT. TI, mid-spec, 2014. Tried online at 70,000. Only got dealers interested, unsurprisingly. What would be a reasonable cash offer, do you think?
I'd say the first thing is, if you are on classifieds, you're definitely in the right direction, but maybe the initial price point was wrong. It's always worth checking other cars like-for-like on Dubizzle and trying to price yourself more competitively. Right. If you were looking for a cash offer, it would be somewhere in the late 30s, up to 40,000 dirhams. But since it's already online on classifieds, I'd recommend you just drop the price down to 50,000 dirhams and you may get a bit more traction from end users versus the dealers that have been contacting you.
It's a fair amount less, isn't it?
It is a fair amount less. It's just the Golf GTIs are progressing so rapidly with the Mark 6 and the Mark 7, and now the S3s and the RS3s are also in the marketplace. It's a very, very competitive hot hatch market that one's having to deal with, and you know, Volkswagen and Audi are ever so quick at bringing new makes and new models out, which affects the depreciation and the value of the used cars, of course.
All right, let's talk to Raja, who's on line 6. You have an Audi, Raja, is that right?
Yes, I've got an Audi A6.
Okay,
2008 Audi A6. So it's done about 125,000 kilometers.
Okay, that's not too high. What would any other details you can tell us?
Well, it's got all the service history and everything and has been maintained. Only had one driver, really. So I just wanted to find out a rough value.
Sorry, what's the engine capacity and options? Let's go basic, two, mid, or top?
The mid range.
So leather and but no, yeah, navigation. And the color, sorry?
It's the dark grayish.
Nice.
Yeah. I'd say, again, it's just about looking on Dubizzle, getting an idea of what the real market value is and trying to price it accordingly. But eventually, I think when all said and done and a buyer does turn up, you can expect 10,000 to 12,000 dirhams in your pocket.
Perfect. Thank you.
No problem whatsoever. An absolute pleasure.
Roger, nice to talk to you. Appreciate it. So interesting there you asked the color.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I did ask that specifically is there was a lot of Audi A6s in that period that were used as lease cars and fleet cars, and a lot of the white ones and black ones actually come with much higher mileage. You may have seen the silver Audi A6s that Emirates used to use, and they used to have 500,000 kilometers on them. So we just have to be wary. It's not an ex-rental or not an ex-Emirates vehicle.
Okay, Pathfinder 2015 GCC specs, 3.5 litre, single owner, 31,600 kilometres, agency maintained, under warranty, GPS, sunroof, reverse camera. So, highly spec, 3 years old.
You guys are really testing me, aren't you, today?
I did warn you.
No, it's absolutely fine. Pleasure to help. I'd put this car, of course, cash, not trash. In terms of pricing, I'd say around 50 to 55,000 dirhams. Now, I do want to say one thing to this particular seller, which is, after 3-4 years of any given car, it's hit the maximum depreciation on the depreciation curve. So if you're going to jump into another car, you're going to get the another set of depreciation. Whereas if you keep onto this car for a few more years, you probably won't feel much more depreciation.
All right, then. Should we do another one? NLT? I think we'll do a couple more just very quickly. Honda Civic 2012, 85,000. That's what I paid for it. This is a slightly different question. Last year I got insurance, 37,000 was the car value. This year the price should be 31,500 after 15% depreciation. Reasonable level, I think. But all the insurance companies are valuing my car at 26,000. What should I do? Should I look for a better deal? Or the deal that this person thinks he deserves?
So I'd just take that insurance company's advice at 26,000 dirhams. With the market conditions being the way they are at the moment, the insurance companies are erring on the side of caution. There's been a lot of particular instances where, you know, insurance cars have been overvalued and insurance companies have been left high and dry when they've had to make a payout. So they're just being cautious as to make sure they price it right, as opposed to in the past where you can get away with any valuation with insurance companies.
Okay. There was one. What? Which one were you going to go for?
I was going to go for Vivex because this is interesting. Yeah. He wants to sell his Nissan Pathfinder 2015 model, 50 kilometres, mid-option package, 3.5-litre engine. The difference here, though, is what he's saying is he wants to sell it urgently. So you've got a very different price if you are in a hurry. If you need the cash instantly, of course, the other man to talk to.
Yeah, of course. Well, the beauty about WeCash Any Car is, you know, we're open 6 days a week from 8 a.m. until 10 p.m. So I encourage Vivek to come down to our office. Good thing is you can mask behind our auction platform. So, you know, the way we sell the cars, we put on an auction. We've got 650 Dubizzle dealers who are all bidding to the fair trade value of the vehicle. And no matter what your circumstance is, that will not be reflected in the auction and nobody will take advantage of the fact that you want to sell it urgently. So I encourage Vivek to come down, have a coffee on us for 10 to 15 minutes while we run it through our platform, and I'm sure we can get him an excellent trade bid on the same day.
Here you go for one more thing. I hope to get to the Mercedes story to bring you back in, Noel, but I want to bring you back in on this. We'll have to come back to the Mercedes story next week. Here is from Al a question. Need a new car key for a Toyota Land Cruiser? Toyota have quoted me 1,100 dirhams for a replacement. Any suggestions? What can I do? But there's no way around the fact that you have to pay because keys are different in this modern age, aren't they?
Exactly. The key advice, which is don't lose your keys. The keys now are hideously expensive, and the more expensive the car gets, the worse they get because they're coded to the ECU in the car.
Yeah.
So in the old days, you could go down and you could get a key cut, and it would cost you the cost of a key. It was nothing. These days, the manufacturers are charging crazy amounts of money for these keys. Actually, the technology in it is very simple. but they have a total monopoly. We were talking about this earlier, is that they don't, they can charge whatever they like actually for the key, because you can't get it from anyone else. They have the code, they have the ability to turn that key that's actually a dummy key just into the key for your car. So you know, I mean, the main advice is try not to lose your keys. I know everyone does it, because they take the spare key that you get when you buy a new car, they stick it in that drawer we all have where you've, where you keep all the things that you can never find again, and it vanishes. And you need those keys, because you know, anyone buying a car from you is going to want a couple of keys for it, and it will cost him probably that much money. There isn't a way around it.
And it is all manufacturers, isn't it, as well? It's just a standard story. I'm glad you're not the only person who has that drawer that I have in my house. It seems to be a normal thing.
It's called a man drawer.
I think it is.
I might have his key in my drawer, actually. Yeah, you never know.
So, Al, there you go. Get in touch with Noel. Noel Ebden is from Wheelers.me, motoring journalist as well. Noel, nice to see you.
Thank you.
Good to have had you here today. Naz Chowdhury is from We Cash Any Car on Cash or Trash today. I should point out that Cash or Trash is not trash, it's just, what is it worth?
Yeah, that's, we've yet to come across a car which is trash.
That's, we hear that.
We'll wait for that day.
Naz, nice to have you here as well.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.